Sacrifice he was willing to give, that you were willing to give for our sake, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful for the love that you have for us that was shown in this way, Lord. Let us show the same love to each and everybody that we come in contact so they can see Christ in us in each and every day, Lord. Let us take the opportunity of this time of year when there's so many people who are looking towards Jesus to show them what the love really means and what it's all about, Lord. Lord, we look back throughout this year, and these congregations have had many ups and many downs, Lord. But one thing that we have is the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. Lord, we're so grateful to have that assurance. No matter what occurs, that you're ours and you will always take care of us and provide for us, Lord. Lord, we pray a special prayer for the Foster family. So we were so blessed with Mike being part of this congregation. He helped lead this congregation in a loving and tender way. And he was truly missed, and we're so sorrowful for that part of it. But we're so joyful for wearing that now, the joy that he's having right now, Lord. Lord, be with the Foster family and be with us as we provide anything and everything they possibly need. Lord, we pray for armed forces who are away during the holidays, and we ask some that are here that are away during the holidays, Lord. Be with them and give them new strength and realize that we're thinking about them and keep them safe as they're away, Lord. And we're so grateful for the sacrifice they've made by just protecting this country of ours, Lord. We're so grateful for them. Lord, we're so appreciative of our police officers and firefighters who are working during these time frames too, Lord, that they're away from their families. Lord, you provide us in so many things, Lord, but most of all, the love that you share and the love that you give us each and every day, Lord. Let us show that same love as I prayed earlier. Let us take this opportunity in every way in the coming weeks. But Lord, most of all, as this year comes to an end and the new year begins, let us take a new dedication to you. And in 2016, we look for more ways to dedicate our lives to you, to sacrifice our life for you, to carry our cross, Lord. Let us put your life, you ahead of all things. Let it be thy will and not our will in 2016. Once again, Lord, thank you for sending your son down here, the greatest gift of all. We say all these things in Christ's name, I pray.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. People rejoice at the harvest. Men rejoice when divided with plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, they gathered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, to be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to the public disgrace he had in mind. To divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in his dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with the child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he called him Jesus.
He gave him the name Jesus. The Greek form of the word Joshua, the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Because, as the angel said, he will save his people from their sins. We're talking about heaven's gifts this morning. In the study that we've been doing for the last couple of months, we've been talking about heaven and how heaven helps us. And as we're coming to the end of this series, next week we will finish this series of lessons on heaven. This morning to focus on three gifts that heaven gives to us, has given to us. The first is the gift of salvation. The angel says that this Jesus whose name means the Lord saves, his purpose in coming here was the salvation of God's people, to save us from our sins. So that is gift number one that heaven has provided to us, the salvation of our sins. Gift number two is the fact that we have Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus came, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he emptied himself. He left his deity in heaven, and he came here as a man, yet he was still God living amongst us to experience this world as you and I experience it. God came here and dwelt amongst his people. John tells us that the Word became flesh. And literally, the text says in the original language, he pitched his tent. Okay? He dwelt amongst us. So, Emmanuel, the fact that Almighty God, our Creator, okay, gave us the gift of coming here and living as you and I live in our lives today, experiencing what we experience. He experienced the joy. He experienced the sorrow and grief of living as a human being. Two tremendously, tremendously awesome gifts that we really need to recognize and celebrate that God has given to us. Two of the three gifts from heaven. We'll talk about the third one in just a moment. Okay?
Luke 2, verse 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that his census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Herod Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Silent night.
Hallelujah. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present. You are holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation.
Why do we celebrate Christmas? Of course, just so that we understand that nobody's confused, I think probably everybody knows that, and we know, that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Okay? But why are we doing this? Because this is the time when most of the world has decided to celebrate the coming of Christ and birth and what is called Christmas. But we celebrate it from the standpoint of a recognition that, as we saw earlier, Emmanuel, God, came down to this earth to dwell amongst men, but he did not do that just so that we could have Christmas. That wasn't his point, so that we'd have a special holiday, and then over the time we kind of incorporate Santa Claus into that, and everybody give gifts and get gifts, and it'd be a special season for buying and selling and all of those kind of things, and make the merchants happy. That was not the reason that God was with us. See, heaven did come down, but heaven came down to bring us the gift of reconciliation. You see, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and we read in the story of Genesis that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and when they did, the relationship between our Creator and the creation was severed. Man was lost because of that sin. But because God loves us so much, John tells us, he sent his Son. But again, he didn't just send him so that we could have a holiday to celebrate that we call Christmas. He sent him to die on the cross, as we saw in the text from Colossians, so that through his blood shed on the cross, we might be reconciled to God. Because that's what God has always wanted from the beginning. He wanted his creation to be reconciled or back in relationship with him. And that's why we have Christmas. Okay? Or at least the basis for celebrating Christmas is the fact that God became a man and came here to dwell amongst us and then to die on the cross, so that our sins would be washed away in his blood and we can be reconciled to him in relationship. It really is all about the cross. Christmas, I suggest to you, is not as much about the baby in the manger as it is about the cross on Calvary. Christmas is just the time and the place and the means by which God became flesh and came here to live with us. But the purpose of Christmas is to carry us to the cross. If we didn't have a cross, or Christmas rather, that is Jesus coming here as a baby and living as a man, dwelling amongst us and dying as a human being, we would all be lost in our sins. So if heaven didn't come here, and that gift we did not receive of heaven coming here, then we would all be going to hell. That's what I want to encourage you to be thinking about, not just the baby in the manger on Christmas, but what was the purpose of that baby coming here? What was the purpose of God becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us? It was so that he would go to the cross, so that you and I could be free from our sins and reconciled to him. This story, the story of Christmas, it is really all about reconciliation. You see? But it's a story that we should celebrate all the time. Not just on the 25th of December. My hope and prayer for all of you is that you do have a happy and Merry Christmas, but that you will focus not just on the gifts that you are giving and getting and baby Jesus in the manger and all of those things, but it will carry you from there to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's that cross and the blood that was shed there that gives us life eternal. So I want to encourage you this Christmas, when you're gathered around the tree and sharing the traditions that your family has, whatever they may be, that you will take some time to focus not just on the day's events and what they are representing, the coming of the Messiah born into this world, the child that was born, but that they will carry you to Calvary as a reminder of why he came. And I have communion.
Lamb of God, your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sinned him from your side. To all the world, this guilty Son, and to become the Lamb. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king, they made the cross and sacrificed the
took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. You do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whosoever eateth this bread and drinketh this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eateth the bread and drinketh the cup. For he who eateth and drinketh, eateth and drink judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body of righteousness." Let us pray. Our Father, the giver of all our good and perfect gifts, we thank you, Father, for the free gift that was given to Jesus Christ. And at this time, we ask that as we take up the bread, that we will examine ourselves and take it in a manner pleasing unto you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray for the cup. Father, at this time, we pray for food and wine, for Jesus Christ's blood to share for the remission of sin. Again, Father, we just ask that we examine ourselves and take them in now, please, unto you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. From 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6. For this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one of you, just as it has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for being such an awesome God, allowing us to accumulate from you, Father. And we know that everything there is belongs to you, but you allow us to have it and enjoy it. And Father, at this time, we just ask that we give that to you with a cheering heart and a thankful heart. And we ask all this in your wonderful Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Oh,
having a traditional, I get away from that sometimes. We traditionally have at this time an invitation. The invitation of the Lord is always extended to anyone. It's a convenient time that we do after the end of the sermon and so forth this morning. I want you to take just a few minutes. I want you to just be quiet. Okay? You just be quiet. Close your eyes. And I want you to reflect on these things we've talked about this morning, these three awesome gifts that God has given to us. The fact that He sent His Son to save us from our sins, that God came here and dwelt amongst us. The fact that we have that reconciliation through the blood of His Son, Jesus. I want you to reflect on those things and picture those events unfolding in your mind's eye. And while we're doing that, we're just going to have a moment of quietness. And if there's anyone here this morning that wants to respond to the invitation that the Lord always has available, that if there's something going on in your life, there's sin that you need to be forgiven of, then it's a wonderful opportunity for you to come up and let's get that taken care of. If there's something else going on in your life where there is no peace, then let's bring that before the Lord, because He is the Prince of Peace. And if there's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian but ready to give their life to Christ and become a Christian, to accept the blood of Jesus, to be reconciled to God through that blood, then you can do that this morning.